Everyone, welcome to the Laying Foundations Podcast. I'm your co-host, Davis Hambrick. Joining alongside me today is Mr. Walker Locke. What's up, Walker?
What's up, Davis? How are you doing today, man?
Good, man. Got a fresh haircut.
You did. That was a close shave, too.
A little too short. Just guys, for you out there, a 3-2-1 is not the same thing as a one blend. Just my advice to the day. What about you?
I need to get one. Mine's starting to grow into the flow. I wanted to grow it a little longer than normal. I try to wear out as much as I can now because it's hard to – it's kind of like a jungle you got to tame when it's out. But, no, man, I'm doing good. We had an awesome guest on today, and it was really cool to get to talk to him. I've been looking forward to it. It was short, you know, that kind of stunk, but we were really glad that we got to talk to him just a little bit. He's awesome, dude. His name's Tim Vest. He owns Harvest Properties Group, so he invests all along the east, southeast, from our understanding. But he is awesome. He's an entrepreneur. So I would say serial entrepreneur. You know, it's kind of whatever he has his heart set on. He just goes out there and gets it and does it. We'll talk a little bit about later in the show just how there's a difference between, you know, dreamers and people who and entrepreneurs. And that's the difference is that they go out there and just do it. They go and they make a plan and action, and they take decisive action into whatever they're doing. Davis, what you think about it?
Tim Vest, you know, he's the owner of Harvest Properties Group. And one of the things when he talked about being the owner was that he gets to put his thumbprint on what he does every day.
Yep.
And for a lot of entrepreneurs, that's what they like. And I love how he framed it. It's the idea with action. What are you going to do today? It doesn't mean that you have to solve the whole puzzle today, but what are you doing today to take that step? That goes back to a lot of different stuff. We talked about leadership consistency, but I love what he was saying, but I really just loved about how he talked about the advice for this younger generation and talking about how to have humility. Man, if you just go and tell people that you don't know, most of the times people are going to go, all right, well, come on, I'll teach you. Like, I know a lot, and I don't care that you don't know, but you told me you don't know, and that they see that humility. They want to help you in whatever way they can.
You know, he talks a lot about, too, just the corporate world versus the entrepreneurial world that he's in now and how he didn't get to have that fulfillment in the corporate world. But now, like you said, he gets to put his thumbprint on it. He gets to touch things. He gets to make it happen no matter what. And it's part of problem solving. And we also talked a lot about relationships, too, and how relationships matter. And if you want to do something, start now. Start reaching out. Start developing a relationship with someone, because it's not an overnight success. Like you said, he mentioned on there, someone's an overnight success in 2 years, in 10 years, in 20 years. It doesn't just happen. It's consistent action that you take every single day in order to fulfill whatever you want, whatever you're thinking about, whatever your dream is. But without further ado, I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Tim Vest.
Are you tired of being told to just be yourself? Have you ever left an interview knowing it was awkward? Well, in 2022, Laying Foundations is here to help you. Over this past year, we learned from 47 guests about how to have great relationships and how to talk to people. We want to impart our wisdom onto you.
Guys, we're here to help, and we would love to have you reach out to us. If you have an upcoming interview, you have a new career you want to jump into, or you have a question that you might have for us, we want to help you any way we can. You can go online to our website at layingfoundations.com and just set a time slot. We'll have 30 minutes. We'll have an hour. And we just want to get to know you a little bit. We want to get to know your career goals. We want to get to know where you're going and what you want to do. And we would love to help any way possible. Tim, welcome to the show. We are pumped to have you on today. Really excited to learn more about you and who you are and your background. But just jumping right into it, let's start off with who are you? What do you do? And where are you from?
Hey, Walker, Davis, thanks for having me on, guys. So who am I? Tim Vest. I own Harvest Properties Group. I'm out of the Charlotte, North Carolina area. Just kind of a guy with a tech background who's been doing real estate since about 2006, so going on 16 years now. I think I did my math right there.
Awesome.
Going on about 16 years now. Started in land development, went into fix and flips, single family rentals, and then around 2018 I pivoted into the multifamily space, and I've been doing that ever since. And that's kind of it.
Tim, tell us a little bit about, you know, where you got to from today. I know you just gave us a really brief introduction, but, you know, I heard you say you're from the tech industry. What happened there?
Yeah. So actually I'm not too far removed from my time in the tech industry, and I still dabble in it. Like for my team, my partnership team, I handle most of the technology related items that we need to run our business, to do syndications, to do JVs, things like that. So our investor portal, in fact, I was just setting up websites with PayPal links today, that kind of stuff. I handle that for our team. So I don't know that I'll ever truly get away from technology. And I'm always, since I'm a little bit of a tech geek background, I'm always looking for ways to like bring technology into play. I swear to you guys, I'm going to solve this syndication underwriting in Excel spreadsheets for us. There's got to be a tool out there we can create for that, right? So still kind of play in the tech space a bit here and there. But you know, I wouldn't say anything happened so much as like it was because I was in technology that I kind of got into real estate. When I graduated college, I was working in a law firm, and the law firm was throwing me a little, you know, hey, congratulations party. And the senior partner in the firm walked up to me. He was like, if I have to give you one piece of advice, buy all the real estate you can. And as a 20, whatever I was year old at the time, I was like, I know more than this guy, right? So I didn't listen to him. I guess about 7 years later, I was working at this place, and one of the guys I was working with had been investing in real estate and was talking to me about it. And you know, technology tends to be some pretty high paying jobs. So there were a few of us sitting there with a little bit of disposable income, and we decided to partner together and go out and start buying some land for development. And that kicked it off. And so over the last 15 years, had some ups and downs, mostly ups. And have ended up where I am today. And quite frankly, you know, after 23 years in technology, I just kind of lost my passion for that and wanted to do a little bit more of something where I control my outcomes. I control my freedom a little bit more than what a corporate technology job offers. And so I've gone after real estate full time.
Yeah. Walker, if I could.
Oh, go for it.
You know, to my life, what you said, because you said you had disposable income. Well, yeah, you might be right that technology career might make more income than someone in another job, but you had to live below your means to have that income to start out with. And so, you know, one of the things that Walker and I were taught from a previous real estate investor was, Davis, Walker, if you have delayed gratifications, if you try to build a nest egg in your first 5 years and don't spend everything you make, then you can then go ahead and start buying real estate and invest in properties and work at that, because so many people in life, once they get the next promotion, you know, they just bump up their spending and then bump up their spending. And then all of a sudden, you know, they look 20 years later and they don't have anything for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a really good point. And, you know, and quite frankly, it's funny that you bring that up, because I actually saw something today and I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm going to butcher it. It was basically to the point of, in America, it's easy to make a lot of money. It's not easy to build wealth. I kind of agree with it. And quite frankly, hey guys, I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that 100%. You know, for the first, I can't think of how many years I was working in technology. I was making six figures. I had some money in the bank. I didn't have a lot of wealth to show for it. But you know, it wasn't shortly after I started investing in real estate. And actually it was because I started investing in real estate that I started to say, hey, I need to cut my spending. Because I was with a couple of partners who were doing exactly what you were talking about. They were living well below their means, and they had way more to invest, and they were making way more than me from it. And quite frankly, that motivated me. You know, I was like, man, I want to be able to put more into these things. And I started to take a look at our finances, and that's when I started to cut back on some stuff.
Love that. Now I want to take what you said and pivot a little bit, because you've been mentioning a lot about partners and people that you've been investing with. And part of what we do, especially in our name, is laying foundations, you know, so we tend to like to lay foundations by one way being through people and through relationships. So can you just speak a little bit on how much relationships in your industry and your work play a role in your success and what you do?
Yeah, it's, you guys call it laying foundations. My partners and I call it planting seeds. Same concept, right? Like, and you know, what you're building off of it, when those seeds start to produce fruit, those types of things. It's huge. It's everything. You know, even from the first real estate deals I did, I was involved with partners, right? And you know, I ended up in like in a 20% position. The other guys were like 30 or 35% positions, precisely for what we talked about a minute ago. They had more capital to deploy than I did. But I couldn't have done any of that without them. You know, I needed their capital. We needed each other's capital to go out and do any of that stuff. And, you know, I could have gone out and done, and I have done some stuff with my own where, but they were much smaller, and the ability to scale beyond something smaller, like a single family or maybe a duplex, that was very difficult without partners. When I brought partners into it, and started to build a network of people to partner with and to build teams around, that's when things really, really started to take off. But, you know, kind of like what you're talking about with laying foundations or planting seeds, that took time. It seriously took time. One of the best statements I've seen heard in the last like 6 months or so, there's two guys out of South Carolina, and they're killing it, guys. I mean, they're doing awesome. And everybody looks at them and they go, man, you guys have just like in the last 6 months, you just overnight, you've blown up. And he's like, yep. Overnight success, 2 years in the making, you know, but that's what he's talking about. You know, 2 years of planting seeds, laying foundations, putting those building blocks in place are finally starting to pay off for him. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Oh, exactly. And I knew, you know, I love real estate. It's I think it's awesome. I've been reading about it for a while now and just kind of studying it up and love what you do. Love your posts on LinkedIn. But I've realized one main thing is that you're always talking with people and commenting on. You have a ton of friends, you know, that you're constantly all just back and forth on. And those are part of the relationships that I see developing just through that. But also I noticed your name, Harvest Properties. I mean, is that from planting a seed to harvest? Is that where you got that from? Or what is the name?
You know, thanks for bringing that up. It's turned out that way, but I'll be quite honest.
Did it start that way?
No, it didn't start that way. So it started out as an homage to my dad.
That's awesome.
My dad, my mom gave me everything in terms of like, you know, being able to think that I could do something. She, you know, she'd always told me, well, you do whatever you put your mind to. My dad was the serial entrepreneur. He always had something on the side. He was always doing something like that. And so it's a homage to him. My dad's name was Harold. Our last name is Best. So Harold Harvest is what we came up with.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. I knew it was something with Vest. I saw that. I was like, there's gotta be something there. I'm glad that you discussed it with us. But Tim, let's kind of pivot here, as Walker mentioned before, but you know, you talked about how you started in land developing, and you know, for a bunch of construction guys, that's probably the easiest, or maybe it's a house, but the land developing, if you're in commercial construction, probably the easiest thing to really get into. Tell us about, you know, how you got started. I know you mentioned it before, but tell us about how you got started and what are some ways construction management people could be looking to get into land developing?
Yeah. So the way we got started in it was, we, like I said, we happened to know a guy who was buying tracts of land in partnership with a developer. And in this particular case, they were going out and securing, you know, say 100 acres just of raw land and doing the prep and the zoning to get it ready to where a bigger developer, bigger actual builder would want to come in and actually do the development. And a lot of people don't know, but there's money to be made in that. Like taking raw land and delivering it developer ready, there's a lot of money to be made in that. The downside to that is there's also a lot of risk in it, because you can get raw land and there may not be developers who want it or who can do anything with it when you're ready to sell it. And that's where we ended up in 2008 when the market crashed. Developers couldn't build, right? Nobody could get credit. Yep. Developers couldn't build. In fact, three of our development partners went out of business or went under. Wow. So it's highly lucrative. It's extremely risky, especially if you don't know what you're doing. And quite frankly, we were pretty new at it. And looking back on it, we were pretty foolish in how we did things. That being said, You know, there's some guys out there doing very, very well with this, especially right now. You got a lot of developers. There's a lot of demand for housing. So there's a lot of developers looking for places to build. And, you know, I got to be honest, like the way we were doing it is we would literally just drive by and see something listed, or we were reaching out to, farmers, who had tracts of land, large tracts of land. And in North Carolina at the time, that was not hard to come by because, you know, North Carolina's had a strong history for a long time in tobacco. And in the early 2000s, after the all this stuff happened with cigarettes, tobacco was not a very lucrative business for farmers anymore. So there were a lot of farmers looking to sell their land. So that's one of the ways we were doing that. And then in the North Carolina mountains, there's large tracts of land and a lot of people looking to retire there. So we were just sourcing public records, finding tracts of land that people own, calling them directly. And then reaching out to people in the farming community.
Yeah, that's awesome. Tim, what does it take for you guys to get a site ready for the developer?
Yeah, so in our case, we were basically getting the land and partnering with somebody who was early stage development to basically leverage our cash and our capital to get infrastructure in place. So land cleared, get some of the utilities in there, get the roads ready, not paved, but get them ready, because you know you don't want dump trucks going right on freshly paved ground roads. So we would get it to that point, and then we would take it to a larger developer, like, you know, just I'm going to name one that everybody knows, like a DR Horton, and say, here you go, here's the site, here's the plans, here's the zoning, it's ready to go, and they would take it from there.
So y'all are more residential than commercial.
Oh yeah, 100% residential. Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Now I will tell you, me and my business partners are getting ready to launch a commercial development ground up, primarily because we actually acquired in the last year, we acquired a little over 3 acres of land in the Charleston, South Carolina MSA. So not huge, but we're going to end up with about 30, 31 units, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to kick that off. And in that case, we came across the land, we got the land, and now we're in the process of working on with the town to figure out what exactly we can do with it. It's already zoned multifamily, so we don't have to go through that process. But we're engaging the architect, we're engaging the town, planning commission, and all that good stuff to go through, get the plans in place, get the approval awesome. To start. Yeah.
And so you know, you're an entrepreneur. I mean, you've done a lot of things. You've started a lot of things. But for those people who listen to us, we have a lot of younger audience members and some 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds and up. But for those who maybe want to start something, want to start a business, want to start investing in real estate, for example, what's advice that you would give to someone just starting out and someone who doesn't know many people, who doesn't have much experience, who's never done something like this before? What would you say to them?
I would say start reaching out to as many people as you can now, and don't hesitate to ask questions. Don't hesitate to say, this is what I want to do. I would say even this, like, don't hesitate to say, this is what I want to do. I don't know the first thing about it, you know, like, just admit that. And that's cool. Because you will be shocked how many people will say, well, come on in, you know, or what are you willing to do? How hard are you willing to work? That kind of thing. If you show some initiative, there are so many people out there, especially in this real estate world, that are willing to just share their information with you. And then the other thing I would say, that looking back on 2006, what I wish I would have done, it would have saved me a lot of heartache probably and money. I wish I would have engaged a coach and a mentor at that time. Even after having experience in things moving forward, I don't do anything these days without a coach and mentor behind me in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. Now, what I'm looking for from a coach and a mentor changes a little bit as I get more and more experience, but I always have one. And I recommend that to anybody. And, it's going to accelerate the ability to build your network. It'll help you keep from making mistakes. And it'll really just back up everything you're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome, Tim. One of the things I thought that kind of changed my life was, obviously, for people that listen to this podcast, they've heard me say that nausea. My aunt is a big part of my life, and she's actually in leadership, Tim. And I wouldn't say she's a coach or mentor to me because she's my aunt. She's one of my closest family members. But man, what she's done for me and my growth personally, just not anything about construction, just relationships wise. I mean, mm-hmm. I've shot through the roof with just having a relationship, talking to people, just because I've invested in wanting to spend time with someone that knew so much about it. And that's a great point, Tim, to go find a coach or a mentor that's willing to teach you and approach it with humility, because like you said, there's so many people that are we willing to use you and teach you whatever they can. But right. Kind of just going off of that, I wanted to talk about, you said entrepreneurship is kind of this this term that everybody uses, but no one really knows how to define it. What does it mean to you to be an entrepreneur?
Oh man, that's a good one. So I'm not even going to try to define the word entrepreneur. For me, an entrepreneur is somebody who is willing to, who has an idea or is willing to take an idea and take action on it. The action, to me, the action is what separates like an entrepreneur from just somebody who wishes things or would like to have things, right?
Really good.
Yeah, because we can all sit around and talk about, well, I'd love to do this or I'd love to do that. It's like, yeah, but what did you do today to make that happen, right? And it doesn't have to be anything big. What did you do today? Did you call somebody? Did you reach out to a coach? Did you get on, Bigger Pockets or whatever and read a thread? You name it. Some action every day, right? And I think that's what separates an entrepreneur from other people.
And that's, I think that's awesome, and it's something that Davis and I have talked a lot about that just personally. It's about how we manage this podcast, because there's a lot of ways that we can talk about how we want it to be. And then there's action steps that we have to take in order to get it to where we want to, which is what 2022 is going to be. We're planning on a big year for us, just because we've had 40 plus guests on this show who most of them are like you. They've all taken action in some sort of way, and they're all very wise or knowledgeable or successful in their representative area. And it's cool to see, but I love the way that you put it, because that's an incredible way. But we're getting short on time, but I want to ask one or two more. And really the next one is just about what you're in now, which you said is multifamily, which is the term that everyone hears all the time, which is, it's apartments and anywhere, between 4 units and above. But what for you is multifamily? Why did you get into it? And what do you see your future of Harvest Properties Group growing into by investing in multifamily and developing and et cetera, you name it? I want to see kind of your vision for it.
Yeah. So good question. So I look at multifamily as 2 units and up, like if I got more than 1 tenant under a roof, I consider it cool. Multifamily. And so I look at it that way, primarily, maybe a little selfishly, because I have some duplexes and then I have some 240 plus unit property. So, I look at multifamily as exactly what you said. Multiple units under a single roof, multiple tenants on a single property. And where I see Harvest Properties Group going with that is we're doing syndications today. We're doing JVs today. I don't own anything individually anymore. Everything I own is with partners, whether it be, one JV partner or multiple people in a syndication. Where I see Harvest Properties Group going is, obviously, we'd like to scale up to, larger and more. We do a lot of 20 units, 20 to 50 units right now. 100 plus is kind of our outlier at the moment. We'd really like to get into that 70 to 150 unit space a little bit more predominantly. And then the other place we want to go is we want to start doing some more development as well. I think the market right now really stands to support ground up development. I don't know if it's going to be that way for 10 years, but I think for the next 4 to 5, it will. With cap rates where they are and things like that, I think it supports development. So right now, I think that's where Harvest is gonna focus, is trying to scale up some of our unit size, and then focus on some ground up development as well.
What's your favorite thing about Harvest Properties?
Oh, my favorite thing about Harvest Properties is that it's mine, and the level of effort I put into it is directly impacting the success of the company. I don't get that in corporate America, so I have a strong appreciation for it here.
Yeah, you get to make your thumbprint, sounds like.
Yep.
Well, Tim, we're starting to wind down, and we always ask these final two questions. So you've mentioned before, you talked about humility, you talked about an idea with action, but what would you tell someone our age, the 20-year-olds, this younger generation we're talking about, what are some qualities they should pursue while they're starting this first entry-level job?
The first qualities they should pursue while they're starting this first entry-level job. I would say, I got to be honest, like I see it with the younger generation already. They have way more. So let me get my head straight here. They see opportunities that I would say I didn't see at 20 something years old. And I don't know if it's because of the technology and the social media and the things that are out there available to them, but I think just the entrepreneurial spirit in the 20 somethings today it's much more abundant. And I would just say, hold on to that and pursue it is what I would, it would say is go after that. You know, don't be afraid to leverage it and leverage everything that's out there. It's amazing to me how differently, you know, 20 somethings look at the world and the fact that they're like, I don't have to go work here to make it happen. And there's so many ways I can make money. So hold on to that, pursue it, expand on it is what I would say.
That's good. Not being afraid to take risk, you know, because when you're young, you can take risk. That's something.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point, man. You know, if you fail at 20, well, I mean, come on, if you fail at 40, there's still time. But if you fail at 20, there's even more time.
Right. Exactly. Fail and try again. That's what life is.
In technology, we call it fail forward.
I like it.
Yeah. Because every time you fail, right? Every time you fail, you just figured out something that didn't work. So you reduced an option, try something else, right? So fail
forward. That's good. Yeah. What is it? Thomas Edison or someone that said, you know, I haven't failed 1,000 times. I've just found 1,000 different ways that didn't work.
Yeah. So true.
No, that's awesome. But Dan, we got one last question. It's, you know, one of our favorites to ask, just because we get so many different answers from it, but you've done a lot in life, it seems, and especially recently, you've really started to grow and got to meet a lot of people, learn a lot of different things and very knowledgeable and all that. But what's something that you would take now that you know now and go back in time and tell your 20-year-old self, your 25-year-old self, your 30-year-old self, you know, what's something that you wish you knew coming up?
It's funny. My brother and I were talking about this the other day. I wish I could go back and tell my 23-year-old self that you don't have to live up to anybody else's expectations but your own. That's, you know, good. When I graduated, I was used to living off like $500 a month. And for whatever reason, I thought, hey, what you're supposed to do is go out and get a car and get this and get this and get this. And yeah, I wish I could just go back and tell myself, hey, you're used to living off that. Keep living off of it for the next like 3 years and forget what anybody else thinks you should be doing. Go do whatever you want. That's what I wish I could go back and tell 23-year-old me.
Yep. That's awesome.
I love that.
That's a different answer than we've had on here before. Well, so
good. I'm glad I got unique there. Good.
It's crazy because, you know, we've had some similar ones, but there's usually something different every single time. And it's awesome to hear because we get to soak it in as the host. We just get to hear it. And, you know, we've grown wisdom from that and just hearing people like you. But Tim, thank you so much. Truly, we really appreciate it and excited to get to talk to you a little bit after this, but we just hopefully get you back on the show for a little bit longer. Love to pick your brain about about a lot more things that you do, but we do truly appreciate you coming on here for the time that you have.
Yeah, man. Walker Davis, I appreciate it. And I'd love to come back, and I'd love to have you guys on Tim Vitale and I do a thing at Tim and Tim at 10. We'd love to have you on that sometime. So
that'd be awesome. Love to be on it.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast today. We cannot tell you how thankful we are for every single one of our listeners, and we genuinely want to know and learn about you a little bit more. So if you're interested in maybe sending us a question or just saying hey or wanted to talk to us a little bit, please reach out to us at contact@laying-foundations.com. If you didn't hear that, didn't understand it, you can go in our show notes and just click on the link and write us an email. Please, we would absolutely love to hear from you. Seriously, me and Davis get excited every single time we get an email from one of our listeners. It genuinely makes our day. But if you want to find out a little bit more about us via social media, Davis is going to tell you a little bit how to do that.
Yeah, thanks, Walker. Guys, like Walker said, reach out to us any way you can. We appreciate feedback, whether you like it or not. You know, it helps us grow in any way. We're welcome. We're here to listen. And whatever you guys tell us, we're going to try to implement that into our strategy. But how to get in contact with us on social media. We have a LinkedIn account called the Laying Foundations Podcast. We have Walker Lott's LinkedIn profile. We have Davis Hambrick LinkedIn profile. We have a TikTok page called Laying.Foundations. We have an Instagram page, Laying Foundations, and then, you know, that's where we're at. These are all down in the show notes, but guys, we just want to put this out there, and however you want to get in contact with us, we're imploring you, please just reach out to us. We'll respond, we'll get back to you, and we want to hear from you. That you're the reason, one of the reasons why we're doing this. We want to hear from you, we want to hear feedback. How can we grow and how can we get better? Because like we said before, receiving accountability and receiving feedback is one of our core values, and that defines Walker and I at our core. We want to hear your feedback, and we want to be held accountable.